KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies at 68 degrees in Atlantic. We picked up a total of 32 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall. 31 hundredths of that fell up until 7 a.m., and we picked up just an additional 1/100th of an inch since then. The skies are cloudy in Atlantic, and there is a significant weather advisory for Fremont and Mills counties. The National Weather Service says about 15 minutes ago, Doppler radar was tracking a strong thunderstorm moving to the east at 40 miles per hour. The line of intense thunderstorms crosses Interstate 29 and is primarily south of Tabor, between Tabor and Bartlett to the west, and then heading toward the Shenandoah area along the Highway 2 corridor. So it's between Highway 2 and Tabor, essentially, is where this storm is moving. And there could be some very heavy rainfall associated with that. Obviously, it's showing up on radar this morning, and some dime-sized hail and winds in excess of 30 miles per hour as well. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news, we've warned you several times in the past about an IRS scam, and now Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers is reiterating that warning. Brothers says he wants to alert the public that the Clarinda Police Department has received numerous calls this week from Clarinda residents who are reporting they've been contacted over the phone by someone who says they're with the Internal Revenue Service and requesting personal information in order to deal with a so-called tax problem. The chief reminds you that such an attempt is fraudulent, and if you receive a similar call, just hang up and never provide any personal information, such as your Social Security number or bank account number. The Internal Revenue Service does not communicate with its taxpayers in this manner, and the IRS will send individuals with any specific tax concerns a letter in the mail. A union representing correctional officers said Friday the discovery of hundreds of pills inside of a prison was a major security breach. AFSCME Iowa Council 61 President Danny Homan called on the Iowa Department of Corrections to release more information about the breach, accusing administrators of keeping key details from the public. State officials announced Thursday that 300 to 400 capsules containing an unknown substance were discovered inside the North Central Correctional Facility located in Rockwell City. Homan said that cell phones and chargers were also discovered, a fact that department spokesman Fred Scaletta refused to confirm or deny. Homan said the phones were the worst kind of contraband because they allow inmates to communicate with people outside the prison. Homan also asserted that several inmates there have tested positive for marijuana since the discovery, but that no marijuana has been found. Scaletta has declined to comment on that claim. Republican David Young has canceled some television airtime reserved for advertisements in his bid for Iowa's 3rd Congressional District, according to documents filed with the Federal Communications Commission this week. Young, a former chief of staff for Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, is running against Democrat Stacey Apple in one of the nation's closest congressional races. The seat is open because Republican U.S. Representative Tom Latham is retiring in the district, which stretches from Des Moines to Council Bluffs. Young's campaign canceled airtime scheduled from September 16th through September 22nd on WHO and KCCI TV in Des Moines. According to contracts the station provided to the FCC, Young spokesman Tim Albrecht has declined to comment. The issue of unaccompanied immigrant children entering the U.S. has faded from the headlines, but an Iowa group is continuing to seek pledges from people willing to house and offer care to kids while their residency questions are being resolved. The 1,000 Kids for Iowa project has been collecting housing pledges since July, around the time when media attention focused on the thousands of unaccompanied children who were crossing the nation's southern border. Project organizers, concerned about where the children could stay as their cases worked through the immigration court, have collected pledges to house about 300 children so far. Now the group is traveling around Iowa to homes, libraries, and churches to build a more organized network of communities, according to project director Jessica Brackett. Those smaller groups will push the overall initiative, which includes creating a network of doctors, social workers, translators, and school tutors willing to provide their services. The group plans to submit its housing pledges to federal officials once they hit the 1,000 goal. Their effort is in contrast to Governor Terry Branstad, who said earlier this summer that sheltering such children sends an incorrect message that those who enter the country illegally are welcome. Well, officials of the Humane Society of the United States is responding to recent criticism that the animal rights group is anti-agriculture. Joe Maxwell, a vice president for outreach with the HSUS, says they have many thousands of members in Iowa and across the region.
The Humane Society of the United States is not trying to eliminate animal agriculture. It does believe there are certain corporate industrialized ag policies and practices that are just inhumane.
Maxwell specifically makes reference to tight quarters for laying hens in small gestation crates for sows. A spokesman for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association calls the Humane Society of the United States a, quote, extremist activist group, and that is against livestock producers and cattle producers. Other critics of the HSUS have blasted it for having an alleged goal of ending all livestock operations.
So they try to take one piece of information and twist it to make it a negative and ignore the full truth and facts of who HSUS is and how we operate and what we're for.
Maxwell insists the organization isn't against farmers, but it is against agricultural practices which treats animals cruelly. He farms in Missouri and is a former lieutenant governor in Missouri. Maxwell says people in Iowa and elsewhere need to know that there are distortions of the truth and flat-out lies being told about the Humane Society of the United States.
It's unfortunate, but we are working hard every day for them to know who we are, to get out into the countryside with our Ag Council members and have a dialogue with the farmers and ranchers.
The Humane Society of the United States has tangled with Iowa farming operations in recent years, including in 2012, threatening to sue 28 swine operations in the state over what it said were inhumane conditions. The National Pork Producers Council accuses what they refer to as a radical animal rights group of having the goal of ending food animal production in the U.S. After negative messages were made about the Nebraska State Fair last month, that state's Governor Dave Heineman said the Humane Society of the United States is anti-agriculture and they're to destroy thousands of job opportunities for young people in the state. A recent Purdue University study found many consumers get their view of farming from the HSUS, or People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, otherwise known as PETA. The state of Iowa has started mailing out 374,000 refund checks to residents who were tricked into signing up for buying club memberships, according to Attorney General Tom Miller. Miller said Friday he wants people to know the refund checks are legitimate and not a scam. He said the green checks are labeled a State of Iowa warrant and signed by the director of the Iowa Department of Administrative Services. Miller's statement on Friday was released after some recipients had contacted state agencies seeking to verify that the payments were legitimate. He said he applauds their skepticism, adding that the state is not collecting personal information or sending emails or making calls related to the refunds. It's expected to take the state's settlement administrator 2 months to mail out all the checks. Consumers were notified by a mailing in July that the refunds would be coming. The refunds are going to residents who paid for memberships with Vertru Incorporated and two other buying clubs over the last 25 years as part of a $40 million legal settlement. Most of the refunds will range anywhere from $6 to $40, but some will be $1,000 or more. The former owner of a mental health counseling center has been sentenced to a year in prison and more than $700,000 in restitution after pleading guilty to charges of health care fraud and money laundering, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. U.S. District Court Judge Stephanie Rose on Monday sentenced Angela Shea Ellison, age 47, of Centerville, to a year and 1 day in prison. She also was ordered to pay $724,359 in restitution. Ellison had earlier pleaded guilty to carrying out a fraudulent billing scheme at Cornerstone Counseling Center, in which Medicaid and health insurance companies were billed more than 6,000 times using names and identification numbers of doctors who didn't perform services as claimed on the bills. The Centerville Counseling Center submitted more than $1 million in false bills, and the insurance organizations paid over $700,000 in claims. Well, this is the time of year, the peak season for mosquito species to carry out the West Nile virus, which can cause high fevers and brain swelling, according to Iowa State University researcher Brendan Dunphy, who is an entomology researcher at the university. He said that we're right on in that thick of that time. Dunphy says the virus tends to be carried out by the mosquito species Culex pipiens and Culex dorsalis, and that late summer and early fall are the peak season for those little critters. He said those species tolerate cool weather better than other cousins do. And he said the high numbers of mosquitoes buzzed into Iowa this summer, noting that in 1 week in July, special traps in Des Moines caught more mosquitoes than had been caught throughout the entire state in 2012. He said the numbers were astronomical. It was just unbelievable. Overall, the bug numbers have fallen since July, but Dunphy said continued rainfall has helped the bugs continue to thrive in the state. The bottom line, he says, is that water is the magic ingredient. Ann Garvey, Deputy State Epidemiologist said that so far this year, the Iowa Department of Public Health has confirmed 11 illnesses and two suspected cases of West Nile virus. More than 40 Iowa residents were ill from the virus last year, which first appeared in the state in 2001. To avoid mosquito bites, Dunphy recommends repellents and emptying swimming pools and clogged rain gutters where mosquitoes can breed. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.